been a struggle for me this week. Sometimes you got to remind yourself that who we serve. You know, there's a phrase that says, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And I hope you believe that. You know, because we go through a lot of struggles in life, and a lot of times we look at things in life, and we forget to give God thanks for the blessings that He gives us each and every day. It's one of those things that we get involved with in life, and we wonder how come and why and what for. But God's got a plan, and that plan is for you and I to serve Him with our whole heart. You know, as Justin Sly came up here and promoted financial peace, that's one of those things, you know, and in life, you know, I can remember as a young man, my dad, I was just married, and I worked lots and lots of overtime when I worked at Low Boats, and then at night, Carol and I lived above my mom and dad on the hill, and I would work at the shop for my dad, and then on the weekends, that's pretty much what I done. I helped Dad with excavation type stuff, and he told me one time, he said, the most important thing you can do is earn enough money to make yourself happy. I was 20 years old, and that sounded about right for me. I thought money was the thing that would make me happy. I had a relationship with Jesus. I'd been saved, but I hadn't even thought about the fact that He would want to be involved in my financial life. And so, you know, that's what I tried to do for a long time. I worked a lot of overtime, and I didn't really have a choice. If you worked at Low Boats, they could make it mandatory. But then I also tried to work on the weekends and to do some things like that. And even to the point working on Sunday sometimes. And I found that just wasn't a very good thing to do. I can remember one time my dad, dozer caught fire, and it was on Sunday. And I don't know how many fences the guy had to drive through to get to where he was going to put his dozer out, because he ran it off into a pond. But he knew where the pond was, and there were several barriers in between him and them, but that D7 cat didn't really care what the barriers were. It was going to go there because he had put it on that path. You know, God, I think about God being kind of like that dozer. You may have some barriers in life, but He's going to get you through. And if we trust Him. And guys, I'm telling you, if you're here and you're sitting here today, then God's got a plan, and you're not here by accident by any means. You know, and the reason I said I had a hard time this week, I wanted to preach something else. Okay? I'll just be open and honest with you. God, He just kept bringing me back to this. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 today, where we're going to read 24 through 34, and I think, financial peace, and me and Carol has been through that, and that's a great program, and if we would follow it, it definitely helps you to see God's perspective on money. And we really need that in our lives, because as young men and women, or even older men and women, we tend to get caught up in the things of this life and having things of this life. But let's read this morning in Matthew 24 is where we're going to start today. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, since he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't not serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin or tread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. You know, he said that several times to the disciples. What? You of little faith. I lost my place. So don't, let's go back up to 31. It says, don't worry about saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear. For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the blessings that you give us. I thank you for each individual person that is here today. Father, I just thank you that you are involved in their lives. And Father, you're either trying to bring them to Christ or further their relationship in Christ to you. And Father, I just pray that you would just guide and direct them. Father, help us in this new year not to decide to allow you to be Lord of each situation in our lives and each compartment of our lives, Father God. It's kind of like, Father, as I was studying this week, I come across just a deal that talked about how we put things into drawers and how we open those drawers up at certain times in our lives. And Lord, I feel much like that sometimes with my life. And Father, none of us is perfect in our relationship with you. We all have things that we can grow into. And Lord, I just pray that we would grow, Father, because you tell us in your word that we must be born again. And Father, to be born spiritually is to begin that relationship with Christ. And Father, then to continue to grow in that relationship and to put him being Lord of our lives in each aspect of our lives. And Father, we just pray that that would happen. And Father, that's a decision we get to make. Father, you never force us to do anything. You ask us to do lots of things. And Father, we just must submit to you. And Father, I just pray that you would use me as I preach your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Jesus wants us to trust him with every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. You know, and as a young man, as I just told you, I wasn't very good at allowing God to be over that part of my life financially. Yeah, I gave to the church, but I didn't tithe. I didn't give an offering. I gave an offering of what I thought I could afford, not according to his standards at all. I didn't know that he would bless me because of my giving. I just wanted him to bless me. My first point this morning is this: money will cause you to have a divided heart. Money will cause you to have a divided heart. We can serve God with our money, or we can let money rule over us. And guys, I'm telling you, in my young and married life, I allowed money to rule over me. I'd do anything to get money. I'd work whatever hours they told me to work. And, you know, at one point in our lives, there was a time that me and Carol and I, when she was doing her student teaching, I did work two jobs. And Carol said, you didn't even know Connor Helen the first 2 years of her life. And that's probably true. I'm thankful that I got that out of the way and put behind me, and the Lord has blessed Carol and I so much with our family. And I get to, you know, I have a great family, and I have so many great grandkids and more on the way, by the way. And I rejoice in that. I encourage them to keep on going. But they're such a blessing. My family is such a blessing to me. And I believe that the Lord allowed us to do that because eventually I learned a lesson. Guys, we get to choose what we do. We get to choose how we respond. And every individual is different. You know, it may be, some of us may be struggling the first of this new year with being accepted by others. I struggled with that. I struggled whether I'd ever find a girlfriend to actually be serious enough to marry me, because I didn't think I was very good looking. Carol thinks I'm pretty all right, I guess. She's been with me for 29 years. I'm proud of that. Actually, she would tell you 31 is what she would tell you. Because we dated, or well, we was engaged for six. We dated for 6 months, got engaged, and then 2 years later from the time we dated. So she keeps track of that. And that's in August sometime. I don't know when that first date was, but that's in August sometime. She reminds me every August. You think after 29 years of being reminded, I'd remember to try to remember the date, but that's how it works. But being accepted by others. You know, we worry about that. We worry about what people think. If it isn't the money, then are you being worried? And I think about this for our teenagers in school or maybe in college. We think about how if I don't do this, well, how is people going to accept me? And we contemplate and we try to play it out in our minds and we try to play God about our future, basically. And we try to predict what's going to happen. We ain't no better than the weathermen, guys. Carol was reading this week that, you know, January 13th, there's going to be a big snowstorm in Missouri. I said, I don't believe it. That's the day we leave for Africa, by the way, and I don't want to set in Springfield. That's the reason I refuse to believe it. Not being in control of our lives is another aspect. You know, you ever feel like you're out of control and you just don't know how to stop what's going on and where do you go and who do you ask and who do you get advice from and just not being in control. And then I wrote down my struggle this week because I wrestled with God about what to preach today. But I'm glad He wins. Whether or not we are in God's will. As Christians, you know, how do we know? I had a lady ask me this week about marriage and about some things about marriage. And, you know, I just have to go and search the Scriptures. But ultimately, she needs to go and search the Scriptures. She needs to make those, to make sure that she's in God's will. Because God's will for our lives is to do what, follow the laws of the land, but also to glorify Him while we're doing it. And if it's something that we have to question and whether or not it glorifies God, then you need to figure that out in our lives. You know, there's all kinds of situations. I could have wrote down some more. Maybe you're single and you don't understand why you're not married. Or maybe you're married and you don't know. Maybe you're having trouble in your marriage and you wonder how all that's going to work out. And I don't know that. But I'll tell you this, that you got to pray about it. It's in God's hands. Are you looking to the God that created all things and spoke this world into being? Are you trying to make God littler than He really is? I love it when this scripture, and we use it a lot when we talk about people that have passed away. In John 14, 5 and 6, it says, Lord, Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And what really gets me in that scripture is the fact that we try to live life and we try to compartmentalize everything in our lives and we put them in little drawers, and then when the time comes, we pull that drawer open, we expect it to be what we want it to be. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen to me at 50. I love the fact, and I tell people this all the time, I'm just to the point where I have started needing reading glasses. And a couple of years ago, Keith caught that on when we went to Dowd's, because I had these pink glasses on that my wife was there with, because I couldn't read the menu and she could. And I said, give me those. And he took a picture. And I think he even put it up on the board for you that next Sunday. But my dad told me at 40 years old, everything would go south, that I would lose my eyesight, I'd lose my hearing, I'd just lose everything at 40. Well, it didn't happen until I was 50. He was 10 years late. So what do I do to avoid that? I go buy me a bigger size Bible, right? A smaller Bible, but with bigger words. Okay? And that's something that happens to all aging. It happens to every one of us. And we know it's going to happen, but we don't want to come to grips with it. We don't want to admit it. You know, I went to the eye doctor for the first time to get my vision checked just about 6 months ago. And the doctor said, well, you need glasses. I said, well, I knew that. That's the reason I'm here. I said, I want to know how bad I need them. And he said, well, you won't need them to drive for a really long time unless something drastic happens. But you do need them to read, and you need to go pick you a pair out. Well, I just went ahead and stayed with the reading glasses because they was $150. Oh, holy cow. Of course, I knew that. My wife and my son have to wear glasses. But, guys, what do we pray to God about? I mean, I know there's some things that's predictable. Old age is predictable. But what about what happens in between those times? What about what happens to you if we get cancer? How are you going to handle that? Are you prepared for that? When somebody dies, I just lost my dad, and most everybody here knows that. But how does that work? How do you handle that? You know, I've watched my wife lose both of her parents. And I watched how she handled it. And I thought that, you know, I'd handle it different than I have. I'll just put it that way. So we don't know, but I do know that the Lord is the Lord of all. See, that's the thing. See, I believe that God's involved in every aspect of my life, no matter what I'm going through, no matter where I'm at. And I can go to Him and talk to Him about how I feel. I can go to Him and say, I don't like this at all, and you need to change it. I can say that to Him. And He's okay with it. It ain't going to make Him mad. And I can even say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to. So He gives us two examples to look at in Scripture. Now, I may come up with a third one, okay? I put down two, but I thought of one today. He says that Jesus gave us two examples in nature, which were the birds. And, you know, ever since I've been a kid, my dad took me hunting. I can remember going hunting when I was 6 years old, and Dad cut the stock off of a .22 rifle so it would fit me, and my son still got that. I don't have any more, but Pete does. But I was only 6 years old. It was only a single shot. I only had one shot, and I was only 6 years old. I need multiple shots, and I still need more. That's the reason I take a shotgun going rabbit hunting today, because it's better for me. But He's always included me, but nature's always been a big thing. And as you're sitting out there deer hunting and looking at the birds of the air and how they interact with one another, but not only that, how they just don't look like they've got a care in the world. You know, my basset hound, he lays on my front porch, and I think a lot of the time, man, you got the life. And when Carol comes home, he gets to go lay in front of the vent in our house, and he's completely warm, completely satisfied. He's got everything he needs. Why don't we trust God like the animals do? They don't worry about what they're going to wear. God has already clothed them. Is He not going to take better care of us? You know, they just fly around and have the time of their life and chase one another. I love to watch squirrels. They're the most interesting animal. And they just know that they're going to make the next limb. They just jump. Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that with God? Why do we have to be coerced into doing God's will for our lives? Why did I wrestle with God about this scripture? Because I know every time I get up here, I'm going 100 miles an hour. That's why I told our prayer people that prayed for us over in the office. They said, well, how you doing? I said, I'm going 100 miles an hour, and that's the way my mind is until I get up here, and then everything smooths out. Everything's good. But guys, just to trust Jesus with your whole entire life. If we would just learn how to talk to Him about the things that we don't even talk to one another about. And say the things that's really on our mind. See, that's what I've learned about God. It don't make no difference. Jesus don't care. I mean, I believe He prayed in the garden. And I would like to have word for word what He prayed to His Father for those hours that He prayed. And Peter, James, and John was sitting over there sleeping, and I just like to know word for word, but I'm just telling you, we got an outline. It says, Lord, if this cup, if it be thy will, I want your will to be done, but if this cup could pass from me, I'd rather not do this. I'd rather not go through the pain and suffering as a human being. Because he hurt just like we hurt. He felt the same things we feel. And why do we worry? Why do we worry? Yet, there's no birds created in the image of God. Not a one of them. We're the only creature that walks up on the face of this earth that has ever been ascribed to that. And even more important, there's no birds recreated in the image of Christ. Think about that. See, Bradley James is not who Bradley James once was. Bradley James is a new creature in Christ. All things are new. I'm thankful that all things are new. Did I ever think, I'm just like David Brown, I would never, ever, at 18 years old, said I would be up here preaching the gospel to people. And some of you guys know more than I know. Some of you need to be teaching me still. But we're supposed to teach our peers. We're supposed to teach one another. We're supposed to live Christ's example in our lives. Do I worry about doing this correctly? Yes, I do. But if you walk in the Spirit, you know. If you're close enough to Christ, you know when you're doing it wrong. Or when you're responding wrong, or when you're thinking wrong. I tell people all the time, most of my sin are stopped right here. But it don't keep it from being sin, guys. If we contemplate it, if we plan about it, then that is what's considered sin. You cannot help being tempted because Satan tempts you. But if we stir about it and we think about it and we begin to think about acting upon it, that's when it becomes sin. And I do that sometimes. Most of the time, especially in our relationships with our husband and our wives, we just let it fly, don't we? Or at least I do. I can't talk for you. But no bird is created in the image of God or recreated in the image of Christ. And yet, He knows which one falls to the ground. Yet, He knows where they're at in life. And He knows where you're at today. He knows what you need to do this new year. You know, I used to teach or used to preach on New Year's resolutions. Just make a decision and follow through. And if you mess up, don't abandon the ship. Swim till you get back in. Okay? Swim till you get back in. Sometimes there's no helping you. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I'll tell this, Pete will laugh at this, but a couple of weeks ago, we went gigging. And I was driving, and Pete was on the bank, and I pulled up on a gravel bar, and it looked like it was all there to me. I don't know why. But about half of my boat was sitting on 6 inches of water, and the other half of the boat was sitting in 4 foot of water. And as I began to walk to the front of the boat, I misstepped, and I took a little too much step to the left. And the boat shifted really hard. Well, you know what happens, and I'm 50 now, so I don't recover as well as I once did. And so I knew I was going to end up on the rail or in the rail, or I didn't know how it was going to work. So I just went ahead and tried to miss the boat completely because that was going to hurt. And I thought, well, I'll just land in the water. It's cold. I'll tell you. It got Pete's attention because I went completely under the water. It was 4 foot deep. And he thought he was going to have to save me. And I said, well, no, that would have been interesting. You trying to find me in 4 foot of water. Guys, the reason I tell you that story is because we can't see everything in life. Even though it looks like it'll be okay. And I truly thought when I started from the back of the boat to the front of the boat, I had no idea. And that's the way life is. We think we've got life figured out sometimes, and it's just not what it appears to be. Are we going to trust God then? You know, the second example is life expectancy. And he talks about the flowers of the field. You know, I believe this with all my heart. God has every person's life. He knows when you're born, and He knows when you're going to die. He knows when you're going to arrive and when you're going to meet your demise. He knows when you're going to come into this life and when you're going to depart. He's got it figured out. You know, I went with my mom this week to pick out their tombstone, and she was talking about putting our names on it and all this stuff, and, you know, because that's one of the things that you can do, and that was an option. And they're proud of their kids. I'm thankful that they're proud of us kids. But he had that date filled in with my dad long before I ever knew. You know what my dad believed, though? 20 years ago, he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, and he had an enlarged heart. The doctor told him that he wouldn't last 2 years. And my dad sat down on his hind end from that time on. And I'm not saying that his life would have been any longer if he'd have got the exercise he needed. I'm not saying that at all, because I believe those days was numbered. But what I do believe is he didn't get to enjoy life the last 20 years the way he would have enjoyed it. Guys, we got to live life to the full, and we got to do what God wants us to do no matter what, because God had clothed the lilies and all the things of the field, and he clothed them in, and yet we take them up and we burn them and get rid of them, or we cut them down and we feed them to our animals, no matter what we do. But yet he knows about them, and he made them beautiful. If you take a flower and put it under the microscope, there is colors there that you and I can't even see. There's designs there that you and I can't even see, and that's the way our lives are. Yet there's one person. There's an audience of one, and that's God. It's about being an audience of one. Allowing him to know what your relations are. Allowing him to pour into all that. That's what's important. Dr. Charles Mayo of the famous Mayo Clinic wrote this. Worry affects the circulation of the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system. He says, I have never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot to die of worry. So Christians ought to live longer than anybody else, right? You would think so, because we got a God who cares. But yet, we still fall into this sin of worry. We still try to dictate our lives and not bring it to God the way we should. Like I said, I don't believe that you could have added a day to any one of our lives. Whenever that time passes, God knows. But I'm telling you, you can add what you do for the Lord in those years. How much you enjoy life. John MacArthur says it like this. The gift of life is a gift from God to be used for His purpose. If you're a believer, you've got to believe that. I'll read that one more time. The gift of life is a gift from God to be used for His purpose, for spiritual and heavenly reasons, not selfish earthly ones. Our concern should be to obey, honor, please, and glorify Him, leaving everything else to His wisdom and to His care. And I don't think I could add anything to that. I think that's saying it in a whole, because that's really what our goal ought to be as Christians, is to glorify and please God. I'm not saying that I can't have fun. I'm not saying that I can't try new things. I did that this week. I went duck hunting with John Fraser. Never been duck hunting in my life. I never sat in water on purpose and froze my hind end off and call it fun. My wife says that all the time. I don't know why you go deer hunting. But I'll tell you what, me and John had a good time. We talked to one another, and we talked about our families and learned just a little bit about one another. And guys, that's what it's all about. I don't understand walking around hitting that little ball all over the golf course, but there's guys that do it every day. Matter of fact, I drove by the golf course the other day, and it was cold, and there was somebody loading up his caddy. And I thought, man, you're devoted. I guess that's how I look when I'm putting my guns in the truck, you know, to go hunting. But we believe in a sovereign God. The third point, we believe in a sovereign God, and that means in complete control. Do you really act that way, is my question. Do you really say, okay, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I quote that verse a lot in my prayer time, in the mornings when I pray. But do I live my life that way? Or do I get frustrated on the way? Worry shows that we've been mastered by our circumstances. Ooh, that kind of hurt. Worry shows that we've been mastered by our circumstances and by our own finite perspective and understanding rather than by God's Word. Or we really make God littler than He really is. We make God smaller because He can't take control. He cannot. He just won't do it. I'll tell you something God won't do, and this is where we get frustrated sometimes, but He will not overstep somebody else's free will. Won't do it. I'd like for Him to. If that was the case, there would be lots of people in my life that I would drag to church. But do we think too little of God? How much do you talk about the blessings that God gives? Or do we need to remind ourselves to tell people about what God the Father can do? See, at age 10, I know that the Holy Spirit came and started to take residence here, and He began to mold me and make me into the person that I am today. And I know He ain't done yet. He says, I am the potter and you are the clay. And every year that we get to live, we become a little more, hopefully, what God wants us to be. You know, I've said this before, and I don't care to say it again, but I've always put Samson in hell. As a kid growing up, that guy, there's no way. He was a selfish son of a gun. Always just thought about himself. And then I read Hebrews 11 where it talks about the fact that he's in the Hall of Fame of faith. I don't understand it, but I believe it. When I get up there, I want to ask him what his deal was. Like I'm any better than he is, right? I'm sure God's going to set me down first and say, okay, you need to realize this. Listen to what God will do for you. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, listen to the voice of the Lord speak. I will help you. It is a small thing for me, your God, to help you. Consider what I have already done. What? Not help you? I bought you with my blood. What? Not help you? I died for you. Since I have done the greater, will I not do the lesser? If He's already went to the cross for you, won't He do what you need Him to do? I'm not saying He'll meet your needs. I'm saying that He will give you what you need to get through each and every day. You know, I tell the youth all the time, if you don't believe, you need to be looking. Don't be in that mode. Don't be in that mode where I just believe because that's what everybody else believes. No, God gave you a mind. You need to think. You need to search it out. You need to look for it. You need to, and if you're having trouble with what you're going through in life, take it to God. Take it to the Lord because He can help you ration it out in your mind. If you'll allow Him and invite Him in, He will come in. But if you keep those chest of drawers shut, then He's not going to. He won't invade your life without you inviting Him into that part. If money's a thing in your life, if you're having trouble with it, invite Him into it. Go to Financial Peace. It's gonna help you. If you don't know how to share the gospel, you need to attend a class and help allow the church to equip you. That's what we're supposed to do. Guys, I'm telling you, you're going to be held responsible. I'm not going to be held responsible for you unless the Lord tells me to talk to you. If I need to go talk to Rudy, I'll go talk to Rudy. Thanks, brother. All right. But what has God done in your life? Do you ever tell people, just random people, how you doing? Oh, God's blessed me today. I've got a buddy. He always answers like this, and I don't get to see him very often. He'll always say, I am blessed and highly favored. And occasionally I'll answer people that way when it occurs to me, but that guy will do it every time. And if you stop him, he'll tell you why he's blessed. Guys, his health ain't good. He don't get to do the things that he really wants to do, but he loves Jesus and he wants to be used of Jesus. And he'll tell you why he's blessed and why he... I'll tell you why you're highly favored, but he'll tell you why he's blessed, what God has blessed him with in his life. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. He says, I pray that your eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of strengthening for his might. So here's Paul, and he's praying for the church at Ephesus, and he says, I pray that you will be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Guys, they didn't have an easy life. They didn't have an easy life. What the riches of his glory. The Bible says we're the richest people on earth. If we're Christians, we are the king's children. We are princes and princesses. We're Jesus' brothers and sisters in the faith. And you're going to tell me that we don't have something to brag about? Number four, we need to claim the promise. And that's all you've got. Verse 33. We need to claim the promise. Look at verse 33 with me. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. All your needs. You know, it's in a bird's instinct to go look for seed. It's in animals to go do what they do. It's built in. And it's built in for us too. And a lot of people think that How do I know what God wants me to do? Well, he's gave us something right here that communicates what he desires for your life. And it ought to be built into your instinct to follow this. Brother David, I told you that there's reading plans, and I started one this year, and it's on my phone, and I do that a lot. I read a lot of stuff on my phone. But guys, I can honestly say I've probably only read the Bible through a couple of times in my life. Why? Because I get sidetracked. And then I'm keeping track and I look how far I am behind and I don't ever pick it back up again. Not that I quit reading my Bible, because I never do. I just change because Satan allows, I get discouraged. And see, that's his job. He wants to discourage you in your life. He desires to point out where you have failed. But every day is a new day. We don't have to wait till a new year to make that resolution. Every day is a new day. Every Sunday is a new week. And the first day of every month is a new month. Why do we get discouraged? Because we serve a God that is outside of time. Seeking God's kingdom is losing ourselves in obedience to the Lord. Seeking God's kingdom is losing ourselves in obedience to the Lord. Paul said it like this in Acts chapter 20 and 24. But I count my life of no value to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of God's grace. See, he counted himself, his life, nothing other than to further the gospel. And he'd done that whether he was in prison, whether he was able to travel, whatever the case may be, that's what he done. And guys, not all of us have the same occupations. Not all of us are called to do the same things. But you're all called to be ministers. Every one of us is called to be a disciple of Christ, sharing the gospel with others about the gift. Matter of fact, that's the second point in that deal. It says to seek God's kingdom is to seek to win people into the kingdom. I don't think I've ever preached that I haven't told people that they need to share the faith. Because I'm telling you, if you don't share, then you're missing God's blessing. I truly believe that. Do I share every day of my life? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, I can go weeks without sharing. I feel guilty, and I start again. Whether it was with a gospel track or just talking about the blessings of life, but if you are a born-again believer, it's instilled in you that you've got to talk about your faith in Christ. If you'll listen, that still small voice. Just one more quick story about my dad. I was a lot like my dad. My dad loved to yell and scream. And when God gets real serious with me, that's the way I envision, because that's what's instilled in me. I can remember one time I left his hammer. I was building a tree stand. And I left his hammer out in the tree stand, and the hogs had knocked the ladder down, and the cows had got out, and he was trying to fix the lot, and he was so mad. That was the last whooping I ever got, by the way. Praise God that I got big enough that he didn't think he ought to be whooping me. But anyway, I don't like to be disobedient because of the fact that that's what's instilled in me. I can just see, and I don't think God does this. It's just the way I partake it, okay? I'm not saying God yells and screams, okay? But what I am saying, our lives sometimes can influence, our past can influence the way we look at God. Read this book and find out how much of a loving father you truly have. Because that's the way I used to envision God disciplined to me. Okay? I don't envision it that way now. Because I've read this book. I don't believe he yells and screams. Sometimes I think he's up there going, that was a bad choice. I think he does that to me sometimes. But I don't see him as yelling and screaming anymore. And I praise God for that. Because I always thought God might be just mad. But he's not mad. He's in complete control. Even when you don't do what he wants you to do. Okay? Even when you don't do what he wants you to do. You may be here this morning and you don't know who Jesus Christ is. Maybe you don't know whether you're a born-again believer in Christ. You know, I questioned that as well in my life a lot of times until I met my wife. And the Bible convinced me through her that God doesn't take away salvation. The Bible says you must be born again for a reason, because you can't be unborn. I'm so thankful for that. I don't serve a God who takes away my salvation. I serve a God that guarantees that I have eternal life. Just what John prayed up here. You know, maybe you're here and you're just having all kinds of troubles in your life. Talk to God about it. Like I said, he won't go against the other person. If it's involving another person, he won't go against their free will. But he will help you through those things. And they might change their mind. You don't ever want to give up until you know that God has led you to that point. I believe God, you will know. Maybe you just don't know how this year is going to be, and you've got some people in your life that don't know Christ. Guys, we need to lift up the lost. You know, I know we've got people that are sick and has cancer, and but if they're believers in Jesus, I believe they're headed for a better place than we'll ever be. And yeah, they could affect a lot of people's lives. They really could. But I believe that God knows the day they're going to pass and when time will end for them. But if you know somebody that don't know Jesus Christ, please, please bring it to the throne. Because they're going to pass without Christ. Their days are numbered just like yours. As Keith comes, Miss Kathy comes. On this first day of the first Sunday of the new year, not the first day of the new year, but the first Sunday of the new year, will you be obedient to what God? Will you lose yourself in obedience to God and do what He tells you to do and do it again tomorrow and this week and the week after? Because it's just one day at a time, and that's the way we got to take it. Because I didn't finish that scripture, but it says that today has enough worry of its own, and we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. But how many of you in here has got worries about tomorrow? I'm not going to ask you to hold your hand up. I'm going to ask you to take it to the Lord and tell Him, ask Him to help you not worry about it today and live today, because Jesus is life. Will you come as Keith leads us in a song?